Day 51, Leviticus 9:7 through 10:20. Then Moses said to Aaron, "Approach the altar and present your sin offering and your whole burnt offering to make atonement for yourself. Then the present, the offerings to make atonement for the people, just as the Lord has commanded." So Aaron went to the altar and slaughtered the calf as a sin offering for himself. His sons brought him the blood, and he dipped his finger into it, and put it on the horns of the altar. He poured out the rest of the blood at the base of the altar. Then he burned on the altar the fat, the kidneys, and the lobe of the liver from the sin offering, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. The meat and the hide, however, he burned outside the camp. Next, Aaron slaughtered the animal for the whole burnt offering. His sons brought him the blood, and he sprinkled it against the sides of the altar. They handed the animal to him piece by piece, including the head, and he burned each part on the altar. Then he washed the internal organs and the legs, and also burned them on the altar as a whole burnt offering. Next, Aaron presented the sacrifices for the people. He slaughtered the people's goat and presented it as a sin offering, just as he had done previously for himself. Then he brought the whole burnt offering and presented it in the prescribed way. He also brought the grain offering, burning a handful of flour on the altar, in addition to the regular morning burnt offering. Then Aaron slaughtered the bull and the ram for the people's peace offering. His sons brought him the blood, and he sprinkled it against the sides of the altar. Then he took the fat of the bull and the ram, the fat from the tail and from around the internal organs, along with the kidneys and the lobe of the liver. He placed these fat parts on top of the breast of the animal, and then burned them on the altar. Aaron then lifted up the breast and right thigh as an offering to the Lord, just as Moses had commanded. After that, Aaron raised his hands towards the people and blessed them. Then after presenting the sin offering, the whole burnt offering, and the peace offering, he stepped down from the altar. Then Moses and Aaron went back into the tabernacle, and when they came back out, they blessed the people again, and the glorious presence of the Lord appeared to the whole community. Fire blazed forth from the Lord's presence and consumed the burnt offering and the fat on the altar. When the people saw all this, they shouted with joy and fell face down on the ground. Leviticus 10. Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, put coals of fire in their incense burners and sprinkled incense over it. In this way, they disobeyed the Lord by burning before him a different kind of fire than he had commanded. So fire blazed forth from the Lord's presence and burned them up, and they died there before the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, "This is what the Lord meant when he said, 'I will show myself holy among those who are near me. I will be glorified before all the people.'" And Aaron was silent. Then Moses called for Michelle and Elzaphan, Aaron's cousins, the sons of Aaron's uncle, Uzziel. He said to them, "Come and carry the bodies of your relatives away from the sanctuary to a place outside the camp." So they came forward and carried them out of the camp by their tunics, as Moses had commanded. Then Moses said to Aaron and his sons, Eleazar and Ithamar, "Do not mourn by letting your hair hang loose or by tearing your clothes. If you do, you will die. The Lord will be angry with the whole community of Israel. However, the rest of the Israelites, your relatives, may mourn for Nadab and Abihu, whom the Lord has destroyed by fire. But you are not to leave the entrance of the tabernacle, under penalty of death, for the anointing oil of the Lord is upon you." So they did as Moses commanded. Then the Lord said to Aaron, "You and your descendants must never drink wine or any other alcoholic drink before going into the tabernacle. If you do, you will die. This is a permanent law for you, and it must be kept by all future generations. You are to distinguish between what is holy and what is ordinary, what is ceremonially unclean, and what is clean. And you must teach the Israelites all the laws that the Lord has given through Moses." Then Moses said to Aaron and his remaining sons, Eleazar and Ithamar, "Take what is left of the grain offering after the handful has been presented to the Lord by fire. Make sure there is no yeast in it, and eat it beside the altar, for it is most holy. It must be eaten in a sacred place, for it has been given to you and your descendants as your regular share of the offerings given to the Lord by fire. These are the commands I have been given. But the breast and thigh that were lifted up may be eaten in any place that is ceremonially clean. These parts have been given to you and to your sons and daughters as your regular share of the peace offerings presented by the people of Israel. The thigh and breast that are lifted up must be lifted up to the Lord along with the fat of the offerings given by fire. Then they will belong to you and your descendants forever, just as the Lord has commanded. Then Moses demanded to know what had happened to the goat of the sin offering. He discovered that it had been burned up. As a result, he became very angry with Eleazar and Ithamar, Aaron's remaining sons. "Why didn't you eat the sin offering in the sanctuary area?" he demanded. "It is a holy offering. It was given to you for removing the guilt of the community and for making atonement for the people before the Lord. Since the animal's blood was not taken into the holy place, you should have eaten the meat in the sanctuary area as I ordered you." Then Aaron answered Moses on behalf of his sons. "Today my sons presented both their sin offering and their burnt offering to the Lord," he said. "This kind of thing has also happened to me. Would the Lord have approved if I had eaten the sin offering today?" And when Moses heard this, he approved. Mark 4:26-5:20. Jesus also said, "Here is another illustration of what the kingdom of God is like. A farmer planted seeds in a field, and then he went on with his other activities. As the days went by, the seeds sprouted and grew without the farmer's help, because the earth produces crops on its own. First, a leaf blade pushes through, then the heads of wheat are formed, and finally the grain ripens. And as soon as the grain is ready, the farmer comes and harvests it with a sickle." Jesus asked, "How can I describe the kingdom of God? What story should I use to illustrate it? It is like a tiny mustard seed. Though this is one of the smallest of seeds, it grows to become one of the largest of plants, with long branches where birds can come and find shelter." He used many such stories and illustrations to teach the people as much as they were able to understand. In fact, in his public teaching, he taught only with parables, but afterward, when he was alone with the disciples, he explained the meaning to them. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." He was already in the boat, so they started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm arose. High waves began to break into the boat until it was nearly full of water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. Frantically, they woke him up, shouting, "Teacher, don't you even care that we're going to drown?" When he woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the water, "Quiet down." Suddenly, the wind stopped, and there was a great calm. And he asked them, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still not have faith in me?" And they were filled with awe, and said among themselves, "Who is this man that even the winds and waves obey him?" Mark 5. So they arrived at the other side of the lake of the Gerasenes. Just as Jesus was climbing from the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit ran out from a cemetery to meet him. This man lived among the tombs and could not be restrained, even with a chain. Whenever he was put into chains and shackles, as he often was, he snapped the chains from his wrist and smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to control him. All day long and throughout the night, he would wander among the tombs and in the hills, screaming and hitting himself with stones. When Jesus was still some distance away, the man saw him. He ran to meet Jesus and fell down before him. He gave a terrible scream, shrieking, "Why are you bothering me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? For God's sake, don't torture me." For Jesus had already said to the spirit, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus asked, "What is your name?" And the spirit replied, "Legion, because there are so many of us here inside this man." Then the spirit begged him again and again not to send them to some distant place. There happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside nearby. "Send us into those pigs," the evil spirits begged. Jesus gave them permission, so the evil spirits came out of the man and entered the pigs. And then the entire herd of 2,000 pigs plunged down the steep hillside into the lake, where they drowned. The herdsmen fled to the nearby city and the surrounding countryside, spreading the news as they ran. Everyone rushed out to see for themselves. A crowd soon gathered around Jesus, but they were frightened when they saw the man who had been demon-possessed, for he was sitting there, fully clothed and perfectly sane. Those who had seen what happened to the man and to the pigs told everyone about it, and the crowd began pleading with Jesus to go away and leave them alone. When Jesus got back in the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go too, but Jesus said, "No, go home to your friends and tell them what wonderful things the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been." So the man started off to visit the 10 towns of that region and begin to tell everyone about the great things Jesus had done for him, and everyone was amazed at what he told them. Psalm 37, 30 through 40. The godly offer good counsel. They know what is right from wrong. They fill their hearts with God's law, so they will never slip from his path. Those who are evil spy on the godly, waiting for an excuse to kill them. But the Lord will not let the wicked succeed or let the godly be condemned when they are brought before the judge. Don't be impatient for the Lord to act. Travel steadily along his path. He will honor you, giving you the land. You will see the wicked destroyed. I myself have seen it happen. Proud and evil people thriving like mighty trees. But when I looked up, they were gone. Though I searched for them, I could not find them. Look at those who are honest and good, for a wonderful future lies before those who love peace. But the wicked will be destroyed. They have no future. The Lord saves the godly, for he is their fortress in times of trouble. The Lord helps them, rescuing them from the wicked. He saves them, and they find shelter in him. Proverbs 10, 6 and 7. The godly are showered with blessings. Evil people cover up their harmful intentions. We all have happy memories of the godly, but the name of the wicked person rots away.